In the game Monopoly, there's a get-out-of-jail-free card that lets you avoid the prison you probably deserve. But in the Church of Jesus, persecution is assured, and there is no get-out-of-jail-free card. In fact, Jesus urges us to be faithful unto death that we might obtain the crown of life. It's not a promise of health and wealth, but it is a promise of eventual triumph. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his 8-part series on what Jesus thinks of his church. We're in Revelation chapter 2, learning about the church at Smyrna and the promise of victory Jesus gives to persecuted saints.
To the person who overcomes, it says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Same crown, I believe, promised to those who love Jesus Christ's appearing. And I hope that you do love Jesus Christ's appearing, by the way. If you don't, you probably are not a true believer. To all those who love his appearing, and you'll notice it says, I will give you the crown of life. And then I'll comment in a moment about the one who conquers. This is the end of the section. Will not be hurt by the second death. I'll give you the crown of life. Now, think of who it is who said this. That's why it's significant that the letter opens, these are the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. Jesus said, you're being persecuted unto death. Well, just know that I also was killed by religion, a false religion. And these false religionists put me to death, and be encouraged, because I was dead and am alive. And because he lives, we shall live also. Don't you see that there is victory in all of this? Because eternity is coming. If I were ever asked to speak in Iraq, if I were ever asked to speak in the Sudan or Indonesia to small groups of Christians huddling together under persecution, this is the passage that I would preach. And hopefully, I would preach it even if I would be imprisoned. That would be a badge of honor to suffer for his name. Now, as we conclude today, I have three bottom lines that I need to give you. You know that when I preach, I always give you the bottom line. And sometimes there are two bottom lines, sometimes there are three. You say, well, technically, there should only be one really bottom line, right? Well, that's all right. When you come to Moody Church, you get a few of them. Number one, keep in mind, even when we are in the hands of Satan, we are in the hands of God. Even when we are in the hands of Satan, we are in the hands of God. You say, well, where is that in the text? Well, your Bible is open before you. Notice what it says. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison. They look at the retaliation. They look at the hatred in the faces of those who want to destroy them. And they're looking at the devil. Yes, the devil may do it. But does that mean we're in the hands of the devil? Does that mean we wring our hands and we say, oh, you know, this attack has come to me from Satan? No, perhaps it has come to us from Satan. But even when we're in the hands of the devil, ultimately we are in God's hands. Because, you've heard me say it many times, words attributed to Martin Luther, even the devil is God's devil. And when God says the persecution is 10 days, it'll be 10 days because God is in charge. Wow. Jesus is stronger than Satan. In fact, in the presence of the sovereign God, Satan is but a puff of wind whom God could crush if he chose to do so. But he doesn't do it because, believe it or not, the devil serves God's purposes. And once we have that understanding, we pray in faith when we pray warfare prayers. We pray with great praise because we know the triumph of Jesus. Because even when we're in the devil's hands, we are really in the hands of God. Second, nothing that can be done to us is worse than what happened to Jesus. Jesus was crucified and he was dead and is alive. Now, let's look at the text, the very last phrase that I referred to a moment ago. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. What is the second death? The second death is mentioned in Revelation chapter 20. And there in Revelation chapter 20, it says that death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Isn't that wonderful? If they take your life, guess what? You can only die once, not twice. The wicked will die twice. First time, the separation of the soul and body. The second time, the separation from the soul and God. And they will be in all of eternity in a place of torment and separation. That is the second death. And if you look at that passage of Scripture in Revelation, you find that all of these people have to show up at the great white throne judgment. And in that judgment, there are rich and there are poor and there are old and there are young and there are kings and there are paupers. It says people come from all over. The thing that unites them is they lack righteousness. They lack enough righteousness to make it into heaven. That's what unites them. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, you've never transferred your trust to him to receive his gift of eternal life and his righteousness, you will stand with those doomed souls and you will experience the second death. But for those who conquer, but for those who trust Christ and those who suffer well because they love him and suffer with joy and optimism, for those, they will not experience the second death. The first death, yes, but not the second. So, third, we don't have to win in this world. This is really refreshing. Let this be the bottom line. We don't have to win in this world in order to win in the next. You don't have to win. Businessman, you who are tempted to cut corners and to do what is wrong in order to advance yourself, stop doing that because you do not have to win in this world in order to win in the second. Do what is right, no matter the cost. Don't be like that man who sold me some camera equipment in Hong Kong. He said, I'm a Christian. But he said, I can't run an honest business because he said, if I did, the person next to me is selling the same cameras, this person is selling across the street. And he says, I have to play by their rules. I said to him, you know what? You don't have to. Well, I need to live. No, my brother, you don't need to live. Millions of people have died. Did you know that? Did you know nobody needs to live? The whole history of the church is filled with martyrs who said, I don't have to live because I have some more important reason than life. Where'd this idea come from? You have to live. No, he's going to die someday. God is going to prove. You know, you don't have to live. Nurse, you who are tempted to accept a job where you're going to be part of the abortions that are taking place in your hospital, stand up for principle and say no. You say, well, I get fired. I need a job. No, you don't. There are all kinds of people in America without jobs. Where'd this idea come from that you need a job? Now, I know I'm being a little bit facetious today. Maybe I'm feeling some wild oats up here. I don't know. But my point is simply this. Young person, stand up for Christ in school, and if you get ridiculed and so forth, know that that's been the whole history of the church, has been ridicule. Why do we think we are exempt? Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Take it as a badge of honor. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For great is your reward in heaven. Eternity is coming. Eternity is coming, and it's a long time. It's a long time. Really long. You remember that story that comes to us from the Boxer Rebellion in China? And it was called the Boxer Rebellion because these people actually did calisthenics. And they were trying to rid China in the early 1900s of Western influence, and they came to a missionary school, and they laid a cross at the door of the school, and they said to the students, if you walk out and you step on the cross, you'll live, because that means that you're willing to desecrate it. But if you admire the cross and you have to walk around it, and you walk around it, then that means that you honor the cross, you'll be shot. The first 8 students stepped on the cross and they lived. The 9th was a girl who bowed in prayer and asked God to give her the grace to do what she knew she should do. She walked around the cross in honor, and she was shot. And all the other students followed her example. Did she win in this life? No, 9-year-old girl, dead. What a waste. Unless Jesus is Lord and eternity is coming, then it wasn't a waste. You see, in the Bible, eternity isn't only presented to us as a lot longer than time. We know that. In fact, it's a lot longer than time. I suppose a mathematician might say it is an infinite number of times longer than time. It is also presented as a whole different quality of life. In the presence of Jesus, hearing him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and living with God forever and ever, ever, in fulfillment and joy and with other believers. Folks, don't ever turn down an opportunity to represent Jesus, no matter what it costs. Be faithful unto death. I'll give thee the crown of life. He who overcomes will not be touched by the second death. Bottom line, I guess this is the bottom line. We are on the winning side. Let us be clear in our witness in the city of Chicago, and represent Jesus wherever we find ourselves. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and of course this concludes this particular message, but you need to tune in next time so that we better understand all the letters that Jesus Christ dictated to the Apostle John. And in a moment you'll be given information as to how you can receive these particular messages for yourself and for others. Absolutely critical what Jesus Christ thinks of his church.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up When Jesus Observes Our Suffering, his third message on what Jesus thinks of his church, taken from Revelation chapter 2. Monday, dealing with false teachers as seen in the church at Pergamum. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. We all need to know what Jesus thinks of his church, and this entire series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us Monday for our next Running to Win.